This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, Max Control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you all, Turnbuckle Trash fans all around. Happy New Freaking Year.
Happy New Freaking Year. Yes, it is New Year's Day when we're doing this, isn't it?
January 1st, 2018.
Did you stay up last night and watch the...
Surprised, for the first time in, I think, like 10 years, I did. I hadn't stayed up in 10 years to go freaking watch a ball drop or to see the clock turn to 12:00.
And you go, whoa, that's so
cool. Wow, that's
cool.
Awesome.
I stayed up until 10 and watch the ball drop from
the
New
Eastern,
York City.
Yeah, right, the Eastern?
Yeah, from New York City on CNN. And now, let me just say this. Anderson Cooper looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there. The man looked it was cold, but he looked like he was bored. You know, kind of like us watching Total Divas.
Whoa. Okay.
I didn't get you.
No. When are you going to see puppies?
No.
Family friendly. So I got a question. Do you think, because in New York, I mean, it's late there, so it's got to be freezing.
Yeah, it was cold.
Would you want to be there, like sitting there for 4 hours freezing?
In amongst literally hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people? No.
Yeah, like, why would you want to sit there for 4 hours and talk about the 2017 year where 1,000 people died, we had, like, 5 shootings, we had 2 hurricanes, and, like, several floodings, like, and then you have all these garbage pop artists coming out there singing songs. I wouldn't want to be there either.
I don't know what the...
So bless that. I hope he got paid a ton for it, though.
Oh, he got paid a ton. He was maybe missing that wonderful human being, he said sarcastically, Kathy Lee Griffin. But he looked like he was so bored. And, I mean, whoever was his co-host last night, the guy was literally trying to pull information out of Anderson Cooper. You could see the frustration in his face, like, work with me, dude, work with me. Anyway. It was hilarious.
It's kind of like when I host Turnbuckle Trash with Dave Denton. I'm trying to pull information out of him, and it's just not working because he's so frustrated about whatever it is. Says Cardinals suck, or that, you know, his cheeseburger didn't have cheese on it. I mean, he's just so angry, and so I have to pull.
I don't eat cheeseburgers.
Yes, you do.
Do not.
Wait, hold on. Your wife is here. The beautiful Teresa is here. Teresa, does he hate cheese?
He hates cheese.
I hate cheese. I do not eat cheese.
Well, then how did you get the way you are?
I don't eat pizza.
You don't eat pizza?
I don't know. This body
I want you to apologize right now for our friendship, because it's been fake the whole entire time.
Just like CNN and fake news. This body was made by Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers did that to you.
And real life Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I love real life Dr. You know what? Don't be ashamed of that.
No,
you don't be ashamed of that.
I do not like cheese.
But you don't like,
pizza.
I feel like you've been lying to me for years now about everything, actually.
I have.
How does your beautiful, wonderful, much better half even live with you? I mean, does she like pizza? Do you like pizza?
I'm lactose intolerant.
She's lactose intolerant? Yeah, she is. So if we go to a pizza place, she gets a pizza without cheese.
Why would you go to a pizza place if you don't like cheese?
It's good.
The cheese is the pizza, Dave.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's the
hard to keep the toppings on.
It's a little hard to keep the toppings on.
A little hard? You don't even have toppings. There's no cheese.
Oh. No, she gets it without the cheese. And several of the most of the pizza places do that for people with lactose intolerance. So, and then, you know, the fake cheese. Oh, man. Don't get me started on cheese. I just never have liked cheese.
Yeah, don't get me started on you not liking cheese either. Don't you dare get me
started.
I don't like
the New England Patriots either.
Well, I wouldn't either if they're the number one seed in the AFC again, because they beat your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing a Steelers jersey today, but I'm not a Steelers fan.
Yes, you are.
My
yes,
wife
don't
gave
be.
This
no,
to me.
Okay, yeah, because you're a fan of the Steelers and you don't want to admit it right now because my Patriots beat your Steelers in Pittsburgh. I got two words for you.
DX.
It's two letters.
Joining me right now as we're Skyping this information is Zane O'Mac. Zane, how you doing, my man?
Doggone Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Oh, wait, wrong. Get that confused all the time.
What a year it was, huh?
2017. You know, what a strange year, personally. I mean, for me, moving, new job, new house, new everything for me. Man, what a weird year. But a great year for professional wrestling. My goodness.
Yeah, you've moved from almost at the Idaho border of Utah, and you're down now in the south central portion, right?
Pretty much right smack dab in central Utah. I'm in. It's like a few miles west of Ephraim. There's actually a survey marker for the central point in Utah. The exact central point. So I'm like 7 miles from the central point in Utah.
All right, let's get on with it. This podcast, of course, is presented by Geeks of the Industry and...
Cool 103.9.
And?
And? Oh.
MSR.
Oh, MSR. Okay, I forgot.
Are you kidding me, Dave?
You didn't say anything about...
You had one job. You had one freaking job, and that's to say MSR, this whole pod, and you couldn't do it.
You had to pull it out of me, remember? I'm just like Anderson Cooper.
Again, you can find us on Cool 103.9. You can find us on Stitcher, of course, Geeks of the Industry.
Anderson Cooper. That's me.
You're worse than Anderson Cooper. You don't like pizza. Dave, let's move on, baby.
Hey,
hey, hope you all had a great new year. Hope you've had a great, wonderful, and safe holiday. So great you could join us for the 2018 year. A lot of great storylines to get into. Football season is about to wrap up. College is getting finished. NFL's about in playoff mode. Basketball's into their halftime mode as the All-Star break approaches. Wrestling, just getting ready for their Super Bowl season as the road to WrestleMania starts now. But let's recap the 2017 year. A lot to talk about, a lot to get through. Dave, if you could recap the 2017 year in one word for the WWE, it would be?
Inconsistent.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Explain.
There were lots of great storylines, lots of great wrestling. But I think Zane and I talk about this a little bit. About how they have such riches of talent
mm-hmm.
that people get lost in the shuffle. They had a good thing going with Breezango and the Fashion Files, and then they basically dropped it, then tried to pick it up again, and it's not working right now. So that's where the inconsistency comes in. Overall, a great year for them, but still, I would say a little bit inconsistent.
I feel like their injuries derailed a lot of good storylines that could have happened.
And the illnesses. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And illnesses as well. Virus, of course, they hit, I think, Roman Reigns, right?
Roman Reigns,
and
Bray Wyatt.
Seth Rollins got a knee injury. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of storylines that got derailed because of injuries or illnesses.
And Dean Ambrose is injured now.
Dean Ambrose, that's a huge one. We'll get into that a little bit later. Fans, we are going to recap you. We're going to talk about our top 10 wrestlers of the year. We're going to talk about our match of the year, favorite diva of the year. We're going to talk about our most improved wrestler of the year, most overhyped superstar, most disappointing gimmick, favorite rivalry of the year, tag team of the year, and superstar of the year. Now listen, I know you're listening to us, and you're probably going to disagree. In fact, there's a 99.9% chance you're going to disagree with Dave or I, or even both of us.
Not with Dave, it's just juice.
No. So. I mean, Anderson Cooper over here, you're going to disagree with him. So we want to hear your feedback on Facebook or on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash on Twitter. Turnbuckle Trash is our Facebook page. You tell us, who's your match of the year? Who's your favorite superstar of the year? Who's your diva of the year? And why? You bring up a good argument, though. I don't want to hear just your answer. I want to hear why. So, Dave, let's get into it.
Okay, we'll do it.
On his feet, the stray cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start right at the top. Top 10 wrestlers.
Okay. Give me your 10. Okay. Oh, give me number 10 for you.
Kenny Omega.
Really?
Yeah. I think with what he's done in New Japan and now moving over to ROH and the recent addition where they're getting ready on this coming Thursday to have the match with Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom at the Tokyo Dome, he's made a lot of noise in professional wrestling, and he's good. So that's my number 10.
Omega. I'm going to go Enzo Amore.
You said it right.
My name is Enzo Amore.
Yeah, I have to. It's our end of the year pod. I have to actually try this time, which really sucks.
Darn it.
So him and Big Cass were one of the exciting tag teams in 2016. In fact, Cryo came in our pod and named Tag Team of the Year last year. It's just defining what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
On his own, I thought Enzo Amore was even better. Not only did he improve in the ring, but I felt his promos really improved as well. But I love what Amore did in his work, and I felt like it actually was shown through in the ring, and then also resulted into wins, and then his status as a wrestler actually moved up as well.
Yeah, he moved over to 205 Live and Cruiserweight Champion, and their ratings started going up.
Boy, did they ever.
There's a great story that Zane and I talk about in our portion of the pod. Towards the end, we'll play. It is absolutely hilarious what happened with Enzo Amore and the Delaware DMV. So be listening for that. It is funny.
Give me your number
nine. Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Jinder got the opportunity to be the SmackDown Live WWE champion. And I put him there because I thought as the year progressed that his movements in the ring, his ring work improved, that what was the last pay-per-view?
Clash of Champions?
Yeah, that one when he was going against AJ at an incredible match.
Oh, yeah.
And that improved. That showed me more about Jinder Mahal than anything. So Jinder Mahal, number 9.
By the way, people who are saying who AJ Styles can't carry Jinder Mahal for the whole entire match is full of it. Yeah. Doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that was
Jinder Mahal
match.
Held his own out there
he
in that
did.
Ring.
He did.
He was incredible.
Yeah, he was.
For me, it's the New Day. I'm putting the New Day out there, actually.
Yeah.
It's interesting just because, I mean, you could have put him higher, but I felt like the last part of the year kind of threw him back down to dearth.
With the pancakes?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. You know, they probably could have ended up maybe 5 or maybe even 6, but a couple tag teams kind of pushed their way up there and pushed them down. So I have New Day at number 9.
That's cool. At number 8, I have one of my favorites, Dolph Ziggler. Even though his status right now is up in the air, but I would say just because I love his ring work, I disagreed with Zane a little bit about how they repackaged him and at the end of the year where he'd come out without the entrance music and all that.
So I think one of the most disappointing gimmicks I would say is Dolph Ziggler. They completely dropped the ball with that.
Yeah, that's with him coming out to no music and everything now, and then laying the U.S. title after he won it the last pay-per-view and laying it in the middle of the ring. Mm-hmm. Is that his way of going out? I mean, I still don't know if he is gone from the
I would speculate that it's a work. You know, they're setting up something with Bobby Roode. And let me ask you, I don't know what to think about. I don't know what to do or think about Bobby Roode right now either.
He has not been handled properly as of yet. You and I have discussed a couple of times the amount of great talent that the WWE has,
and how sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now, I would say lost in the shuffle is Bobby Roode. You mm-hmm. see the crowd reaction when he does his glorious entrance mm-hmm. and when he does glorious in the ring. But maybe the buildup now to this new U.S. title reign might be the way to put him over. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I think that they either brought him up too quickly or they've mishandled the situation just a little
bit. I mean, we've talked a couple times about this. And so somebody like Bobby Roode, who's, I mean, you know, was extremely well-known in TNA, and they bring him to NXT, to me, that feels like a step backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, and I don't know, maybe in his career and going to the WWE and even NXT would be a step forward, but I don't know. I would say straight over, just like they used to do in the WCW days, you know, when either a superstar would come from WWE to WCW and they wouldn't say a fetching word, and all of a sudden music would hit and they would come out and they'd be like, you know, and the, you know, the announcers, well, what is he doing here? Why is he here? He's not supposed to be here. He doesn't even belong to WCW, you know.
Uh-huh.
And but something like Bobby Roode, why not do something like that for him? Why would not just surprise and bring him over to the main roster and almost put him in a squash match for the U.S. title and put it around his waist? Or is that a slap in the face to other performers?
You know, I think – do you want my honest opinion now?
Well,
here we
well,
go.
That's why we.
I remember when Vince McMahon made the statement that he was not going to hire anybody from any other promotions, and he was just going to work with NXT and bring people up. Then he made the comment that when somebody else was signed from a different promotion, they would have to go to NXT. And I'm wondering how much his ego might have gotten in the way of saying, while this would be a great storyline to just all of a sudden have a Bobby Roode come in and make an appearance, maybe as a heel, maybe as a face, coming in to save somebody, mm-hmm. something like that, I think would be more effective than saying, you know what, he's going to make his first SmackDown appearance next Tuesday. Well,
yeah. Well, and same with like Samoa Joe. You know, mm-hmm. there is absolutely, in my mind, no reason why somebody with the name Samoa Joe that has been around and you know, in my opinion, has paid his dues and should have gone to NXT first. I mean, you know, Samoa Joe should have come right smack onto the main roster and been put right up on the top card.
You know that pay-per-view match that Joe had with Brock Lesnar was one of the best matches of the year.
I would agree with that. It was not. It was decent to see Brock him actually. I think that he made Brock Lesnar put on a little bit of a match. You know, that's always been a frustrating thing for me to see. You know, I mean, AJ Styles came right over, but you know, Vince, I believe I've heard several things on social media and other things, and you know, and I believe everything I see on the internet, but
of course
AJ Styles wasn't even supposed to be he was supposed to be a mid-carder.
Mm-hmm.
Vince brought him over and had no plans of putting the title on him, but then due to some injuries and some other things and how over he was with the crowd, they, you know, put him right up there.
Oh, when he made his first appearance, the crowd went bananas.
Mm-hmm.
I have Dolph Ziggler at number 8 as well, actually.
Wow, unreal,
yep, I do.
Yeah.
No, I do. I can
well,
be way
you
off.
Know, he put the title down that he had won. He put it in the middle of the ring, and they're having a tournament right now to decide. And I'm hoping that he'll come back because I don't know what his status is as far as his contract right now. There's been a lot of speculation on that. So I hope he does.
Maybe that might make me eat my words then. Maybe he won't be coming back.
You put cheese on it.
You know what? Don't you dare get me. Don't you dare.
I'm not going to
Don't you dare. You grow up right now.
I'm 60 years old. I think I'm grown up.
You don't act like it. Number seven, I have the Shield.
The Shield.
Yeah. Getting back together could be a good thing, but well, for them to get back together and do what they did and for the crowd to respond to them the way they did, they're up there on the list.
But you get the injuries in there when they had their reunion, and then there's Roman Reigns who gets ill
And now Dean Ambrose has the injury that he's going to be out for a while. But I understand why you did.
So, but, I mean, we are talking about 2017. Right, so in the year 2017, I do have the Shield.
Cool. I have Cody Rhodes.
Oh.
Cody, he's not the ROH champion right now. He was, I think the inroads he made in the independent scene, New Japan, ROH, and just doing indies all over the country and getting the press he did because he asked for his release from the WWE, and he says he's making more money now of working the independents and ROH than he was ever at WWE. So Cody Rhodes.
Number six, this might surprise some, but I have Kevin Owens.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
No, I just feel like, he betrayed his one ally in Chris Jericho. He befriended a longtime rival in Sami Zayn. He had a great feud with the McMahons. He had a heck of a match in a Hell in a Cell with Shane McMahon. And then he ends his year by, saving his job in the Clash of Champions pay-per-view in a match that he had to win. It was a must-win for him. The guy's not going anywhere anytime soon. So,
did you know who else has a good match with John Cena in 2017? Was KO. What it was with those two and their, with their ring chemistry or whatever you want to call it. But, dude, Kevin Owens and John Cena put on some rock solid matches.
Mm-hmm. I think Kevin is one of those kind of talents that when he's in the ring with somebody, he ups their game, just like AJ Styles. I think AJ Styles can up the game of any other performer who might have some weaknesses. But I think Kevin does the same thing. I think he's that good. A lot of people, the internet stuff, you always find people that are haters. Mm-hmm. But I think Kevin is just that good.
Well, and, for somebody who doesn't have the look or, he's not, he's got the gut. He's got the, he's so good. And I've gone back and watched some of his stuff from, ROH, and he's good then, too.
Yeah, there you can catch kind of, I think they called it WWE 24. It's on the network. They follow Kevin for a year, and from WrestleMania to WrestleMania. And they follow him in the ups and downs of his career. He's very hard on himself.
Really?
About his, it's very fascinating. You need to watch that one if you're a Kevin Owens fan. It's really good. To Johnny Impact, or Johnny Mundo, as my number six. He was doing great work with Lucha Underground as their champion. And when that season ended, he moved over to Impact, Global Force, TNA, whatever you want to call him now. Plus, he's done some movies, and I just like his work. I mean, I've been a fan of his. John Morrison when he was in the WWE, but he's number six.
Where are we at? Five?
Number five.
Jinder Mahal.
Well, you got him up higher than me.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? Well, his year explains why.
Uh-huh.
I think his match of the year really pushed him up for me. We talked about the AJ Styles match, but I think there's matches before that he had great matches before. Brock Lesnar's match, I believe, was it Lesnar that he fought?
Anyway, it was a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought his battle with Brock Lesnar, who's a beast, uh-huh. and I thought Jinder held himself just fine there as well.
Yeah.
Climbed himself to the top, battled for a title. I have Jinder at number five, and he honestly could be probably fitting at the top of every other category, including most improved as well, if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal, I don't know, man. What do you think? But I'm not talking about his match quality. What do you think about his person? Think about the MK Bandit, the true heel that we know. Is he worthy to carry, the same card as the MK Bandit?
Not as well as I would hope. I mean, he gets good heat, but they needed to set him up a little bit more. Let him do some more damage. Put somebody out for 6 months, I think they decided to do it so quickly. I saw his ring work improve dramatically during that time.
Mm-hmm.
His microphone work, I think, is still a little weak. That's why they brought along Lenny and Squeaky. The Singh brothers. but Slamil and Slamazel, Hassenfetter Incorporated. But I think that's why they paired them up. And
I'll put in at number five, Kevin Owens, for all the reasons that you put in. I think his work. I love Kevin Owens when he's in the ring and he's doing that running commentary that you can pick up on the mic and he's talking to the crowd. And he's getting heel heat. I like his work at number five. KO.
Number four, the Usos.
The Usos. Wow.
I felt like they made a jump and they kept their... I mean, you want to talk about being inconsistent. Let's go the opposite direction and be consistent. I felt the Usos did a great job of being consistent. Who's your number three?
Number three. Well, you didn't ask me number four.
Oh, you didn't... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Number four. Yeah. Go.
Braun Strowman. I'm not a big fan of his, but the inroads he made and some of the matches... So, Braun Strowman, I put it at number four, even though I'm not a fan. This wasn't based on being a fan to me. It was who made inroads. So, that's who I have at number four.
Who's your number three?
I have, this is going to surprise you, Matt Hardy.
Okay.
Because of the impact that he made when he came back with Jeff and how much the Hardys went over as a tag team. And now, with the Woken Matt Hardy gimmick that they're doing, I see just great things ahead for Matt Hardy. And once again, I have never been a big fan of Matt Hardy, but I'm basing this on analysis of how they did in the year and the kind of impact that they made on professional wrestling. And I love the Woken gimmick because I think they came up with gold when they, instead of broken, called it Woken. I think they're going to make money on this one.
I have The Miz at number three.
You know, I forgot to put The Miz on my list.
What?
I didn't put The Miz on my list. I'm sorry. I forgot.
The Intercontinental Championship is all about working. It's a worker's belt, and no one works as hard as The Miz in the WWE. His work on the microphone, his work in the ring is just as stellar. His promos are second to none. There is nobody better with promo work than The Miz, and that is in WWE history. I will go ahead and be bold enough to say that. No one has been better on the mic than The Miz in the WWE in its history, ever. That's just my opinion, but
okay,
sure.
That's fine.
I love what he did in the ring last year, though, and his whole relationship with Maryse really kind of showed another side of him that we don't get to see The Miz of, and I felt like it brought out a really, really good, just an epic side of Miz that I love. Like, I love seeing him go after Baron Corbin verbally.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love seeing him use that verbal, you know, temper and use it in the ring. He's phenomenal, and I hope he's been in the WWE for a long... I mean, he's already been there for a decade or so, and I hope it continues.
I think it's 15 years he's been
Is
there.
Is that unreal?
Yeah.
And he was from WWE Tough Enough, wasn't he?
Yeah, he performed on Tough Enough.
And look where he's at.
Yeah, for all the reasons, I would put him at 3A, I guess.
Yeah.
We should assign ourselves a little homework, and especially with the availability on the network, and maybe go back and watch some of the Miz's matches. Like, go back to, was it WrestleMania 27 with him and John Cena, and watch some of that compared to some of how he is doing in the ring now. Because in my opinion, I feel that he has drastically improved in the ring, and I think he could go with just about anybody.
The thing with The Miz, to me, is his use of the psychology of professional wrestling. If you'll remember when you and I did the interview with the MK Bandit, we were talking about the heel dynamic and how it tells a story. And I think The Miz does that as good or better than anybody in the game right now. I'd say better than most.
At number two, Kurt Angle. Just because of the way when he came back after being inducted into the Hall of Fame and now he's the manager. I'm not real wild about the storyline with him and Jason, but when he came back into the ring as part of the Shield when he took over for Roman Reigns, and then all the publicity that they got for Kurt Angle coming back, loved it. So Kurt Angle at number two.
Diva Takes Action. Alexa Bliss, number
wow.
two. Yep. Has there been a moment, has there been a lot of moments, or at least a lot of space in 2017 where Alexa Bliss didn't have a title around her waist?
You know, she was the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah.
Then she moves over to Raw. She's the first time that somebody's held both belts.
Yep.
Her ring work is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Her microphone work, I love it. I love the look. I love the way they've packaged her, calling her Little Miss Bliss or 5 Feet of Fury. Boy, good choice.
Yeah, no, Alexa, and I think it's a dirt. I look through all the divas because I want to put a diva in there. And I look through all of them. And I studied them. And Charlotte Flair's great. Natalya is ferocious. If Paige would have stayed in longer, she probably would have had a good argument as well. But no one, and you just killed the resume right there.
Mm-hmm.
No one has a great resume in 2017 like Alexa Bliss has. Oh. She is number two in my list.
Wow.
I'm going to ask you about some of your favorite wrestlers, the people that did it for you this year. We'll talk about some of these wrestlers. So let's 4 or 5 of your favorite wrestlers and why.
Okay. Do they have to be WWE, or are we just talking anybody?
I think any promotion at all. I think that's what we've been doing, is we've been talking about the indies, we've been talking about other promotions, and it's not just WWE.
Well, you know, I think I'll talk TNA for a sec. You know, I've mentioned several times how much I like Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't watch TNA as much as I, you know, should, I guess. I don't know. Is there a rule? I mean, like, do we need to come up with, like, some kind of a rule that says, like, you must watch professional wrestling? You know, I think if there was a rule, I would probably be a little, you know, but maybe that wouldn't be as fun then.
I will make the rule. I can't do that. I'm the oldest of this bunch. I can do that.
And I have to respect my elders, so.
That's right.
But, you know,
and boy, am I older.
TNA for a sec, you know, you know, guys like Bobby Lashley, I really liked him, and Eli Drake.
Uh-huh.
You really like Eli Drake, don't you?
I love Eli Drake. He's a great performer.
You know, I like EC3 a lot. Mm-hmm. I think EC3 is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, let's move on to the big guns. Should we talk about the big guns now? Say some of my favorite people for the year. I would probably say Epico Primo. No, just kidding.
Boy, you better be kidding with that. Epico and Primo.
You know, a few guys that stand out to me for 2017. Let's go five. I'll start at number five. Number five. Number five. Let's think for a second. Number five would be.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fandango. No. Well, okay. We'll talk about tag teams later. I was thinking.
Okay.
Let's talk about tag teams later.
Let's talk about tag teams.
Okay. I'm going to just name off five. Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose. Cesaro's really, really up. You know, I'm not a big, I don't know, I have mixed feelings on Braun Strowman. But late 2017, he made quite this splash. You know, and he's really over with the WWE Universe right now. I mean, they love him.
Uh-huh.
And I like him a lot, coming from, you know, the Wyatt family to what he's... Kevin Owens is up there, way up there.
Hold off on number one.
Let's do it.
You want to do it now?
No. Let's hold off. Let's hold off.
That'll be the wrestler of the year type thing.
I love it.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll hold off.
Okay, so that's our top 10 wrestlers of the year. We're going to take a quick break, give it a chance to Celso breathe, while you finish your burger without your cheese, which is really... That looks really gross, by the way. You are disgusting.
It's got onions and bacon.
You are inappropriate. Dave Denton, AJ Salas, and this is your end of the year 2017 Turnbuckle Trash Pod presented by Geeks of the Industry.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get to tonight.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back, Turnbuckle Trash fans. It's Turnbuckle Trash, end of the year 2017 specialty pod, presented by MSR, by Geeks of the Industry, and by the Cash Valley Radio Network, or more specifically,
Cool103.9.com.
I love it.
And you forgot Chunky Larry.
Oh, and Chunky Funky Larry. Let's go through some more categories. We've seen our top 10 wrestlers of the year. We are saving number one for later, so hold tight. Dave, next category would be?
Tag Team of the Year.
I see there's four, maybe three tag teams in this list, but I might be wrong. Who's your Tag Team of the Year?
I have to go with two. I have to go one with the inside the WWE, one outside of the WWE.
Yeah, let's do it.
Inside the WWE, we've talked about them already, the Usos.
The Usos going from, you know, such a, I don't know, how would you say it, you know, almost a gimmick. You know, with their whole Samoan thing and the dance and the tribal things and stuff. And then when they just made them two dudes, you know, I was like, what are they doing to them? Why, you know, this is a part of their heritage and this is, you know, the whole, you know, Polynesian thing and so cool and they're just like dudes now. But they're pretty badass dudes.
Oh, yeah, some of the things that they do coming to the ring now with the Uso Penitentiary and some of their ring gear is just incredible. And then, hey, their work, you can't – I mean, when you look at the Usos against the New Day, those are some of the best tag matches I have seen in years.
Yeah. They do a great job, and I don't know what it is with, like you said, the chemistry and stuff, but they do a good job.
I have the bar.
Good choice.
No, well, I mean, you flip a coin, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you almost have to right now with those two tag teams. And like you said, the New Day, incredible feud with the Usos. Loved it. I ate it up. I think everybody did. But I feel like the bar carried more momentum towards the end of 2017 than any other tag team. Whether they can do that again for another 4, 5, 6 months, at least onto the road to WrestleMania, is yet to be seen. I have the bar, though, and like I said, it's a toss-up between them and the Usos.
But... Oh, and the spot where Cesaro was injured.
Broke his teeth.
Oh.
And then, did you watch where he got stitches, by the way?
Yes.
We posted that on our Twitter account on Turnbuckle Trash, but oh my gosh.
My mouth is hurting
and
just
thinking
about it.
And he's just like this big stupid grin on his face after he's done. He's like, yeah, all right, stitches, yeah. Woo.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
What about you, my friend?
My favorite tag team of the year, Breezango.
You have got to be kidding me.
I thought Breezango was freaking awesome and funny as crap. Yeah. And I thought when they put them up against, wasn't it the Usos for the Tag Team Championship?
And, yeah, they did.
And,
yeah.
I mean, lost by the skin of their teeth, and then all of a sudden they went disappeared off into nowhere and doing these stupid little vignettes and stuff.
With the the fashion police or whatever they call them.
The fashion police was funny, but then all of a sudden they started doing
it was. Go back to that match they had. Was it with the Usos, I think, where Tyler Breeze was doing all the disguise, the mop.
That was funny.
It was hilarious.
That was hilarious, dude. That was so funny, and he was just, you know, he had to dress up like the custodian and had the mop in the ring, and he would dodge him, and, you know, that was good stuff. I mean, that right there is what professional wrestling is all about, just silly, goofy, awesome, just fun, you know? But
and then they just disappear, and they come back, and they get in squash matches. What the?
But my favorite game of the year is definitely Sheamus and Cesaro. I mean, they, you know, they took something what was, I think, kind of thrown in there and was supposed to be a joke, and they turned that into an excellent, excellent tag team.
Oh, you know what? I would put them probably in number two behind the Usos for me, because I've always liked Sheamus's work, but Cesaro, to me, is one of the most underutilized talents in the WWE. He proved it when he got his teeth knocked up in his head.
We've talked about this before. I think there is absolutely no reason why Cesaro should not be taking on Brock Lesnar for the, you know. The guy is absolutely a powerhouse, and the guy is tough as nails, and I think that he could put on one heck of a match with him.
Yeah. I am not going to disagree with you there. So
I'm going to go outside of the WWE right now. I'm going to put it as a tag team of the year outside of the WWE, the Young Bucks, with the Bullet Club. Yeah. They've been part of the six-man tag championship at ROH. They've been the tag team champions. They've been tag team champions in New Japan. They've made a lot of news. Their Bullet Club merchandise and the Super Kick Party merchandise, making them a lot of money. I also put them in there because they've thumbed their nose and say they don't want to come to the WWE.
I love it. That's a great resume for
them. The Young Bucks.
All right, let's go most overhyped wrestler of the year. And I don't think this one's even close in my...
Oh. I think all three of us are here. Overhyped wrestler, the Michael Jackson wannabe, Shinsuke Nakamura. His entrance is fun. I don't like his ring work very much. But something about him just bugs me to death. Besides him being uglier than me, and that's hard to do.
I love Shinsuke. I think his ring work's incredible. I love Shinsuke. I could watch him all day. I think he's fun to watch. My most overhyped wrestler goes to Jason Jordan. I think he is a waste of space, a waste of time, and they got to get rid of him before I get rid of him.
I like your choice.
I am sick of I mean, he had a chance to make a his name known, or at least make a splash in that big Survivor Series main event. Never showed up. I just don't understand why we have him. I don't understand what he's doing. Let's get rid of him.
Good choice. I'm actually surprised.
What about you, my friend?
So I think one of the most disappointing gimmicks, I would say, is Dolph Ziggler. They completely dropped the ball with that. But I don't know what to do or think about Bobby Roode right now either.
He has not been handled properly as of yet. You and I have discussed a couple of times the amount of great talent that the WWE has and how sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now, I would say lost in the shuffle is Bobby Roode. You see the crowd reaction when he does his glorious entrance and when he does glorious in the ring, but maybe the build-up now to this new U.S. title reign might be the way to put him over.